This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know that feeling when you have something that's really been bothering you, or when you've been fixating on something in your life that's looming large in your mind? We all carry around different stressors in our lives, big and small, and I think we inherently know that when we keep them bottled up inside, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest, and to figure out how to work through whatever it is that's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for people who have experienced major trauma. There are plenty of benefits it can have for everyone. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. And don't underestimate the power of boundaries either. Those are super important. If you've been wondering if you should give therapy a try, check out BetterHelp. It's a fully online experience and designed from the ground up to be convenient and customizable to your schedule. To get started, you just have to fill out a brief questionnaire that will match you up with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no extra charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/filmdaily today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/filmdaily. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Monday, April 15th, 2024. On today's episode of the show, we're going to be talking about CinemaCon 2024. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at SlashFilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film staff writer and box office analyst Ryan Scott.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
All right, Ryan. I'm excited to talk to you about CinemaCon, which you were in Las Vegas for all of last week covering this big convention for the movie theater exhibitors, movie theater owners, people like that. And longtime listeners of this podcast will be familiar with CinemaCon. We've talked about it every year for several years in a row now. The long and short of it is the studios gather in Vegas and gather all of the theater owners together and just show them clips of things, the upcoming movies and things like that, to get people excited about the year to come, basically. And press has been invited for many, many years at this point. So you had a chance to sit in on that and write rapid fire descriptions of all of this footage and stuff and send it back to us. And we sort of tried to package it up as best we could and publish them as articles on slashfilm.com. So we have a ton of coverage from CinemaCon. I encourage people to just go to slashfilm.com, scroll down the page a little bit until you start seeing CinemaCon stuff, because there's a lot of it there. It's like way too much to link to in the show notes for this episode. But I encourage people to go and check that out, especially if you weren't following this stuff closely as it happened last week. So Ryan, we're going to get into like a lot of things, your reactions and some of the favorite things that you saw there. But what was your general experience like at the convention? Because this was your first time at CinemaCon, right?
It is. And I'm going to get a little sappy during this, I think, because I make no, you know, I'm not quiet about the fact that I love what I do for a living and I love working here. I love being here. I love being part of this. And behind the scenes, one of the first questions I ever asked when I started Slash Film 2.5 years ago was, what's up with CinemaCon? And my feedback was, that's Ben's beat. Don't ask. Like, more or less. And this year I asked, and it turns out you weren't going. So I seized on my opportunity. This was like a weird little dream of mine. It's something I always wanted to do. Just because I like getting excited about movies, like before they come out, I like a good trailer, a bit of footage, an announcement. Like, I like the hype train around movies. Like, that's one of my favorite parts about this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of all CinemaCon is. And it ended up meeting my lofty expectations. There is a real danger in, like, wanting to do something this bad for so long and then finally experiencing it and having it let you down. It did not let me down. It was great. I had a wonderful time, and it was really cool being able to kind of, like, deliver all of this to the readers and be like, here, you know, relays, because some of this footage will never make it to the, you know, general public probably. Mm-hmm. So I had a great time.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I'm really glad that you know, that it lived up to everything that you had sort of held it up on that pedestal to be. You mentioned that basically trailers and stuff is all CinemaCon is. That's largely true. The only exceptions are occasionally they will show a full movie or two, and they actually did that this year, but you happen to have seen The Fall Guy was one of the movies that they showed, and you saw that at South by Southwest. Did you see Babes, the other movie at South by already?
I ended up not seeing Babes, and I'll tell you why. This is a little off topic for us, but I added the weirdest serendipitous thing that happened the whole time I was there. I texted my best friend when I landed in Vegas, my best friend Roy, who lives in Arizona, and I now live in Austin, Texas. And I was like, hey, man, you know, I just landed in Vegas. You know, we've been here a bunch of times. You mentioned, you know, hey, I was, you know, just made me think of him. And he calls me, he goes, wait, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. And he ended up being, he was on his way to Vegas on a flight for a completely different conference in his industry. He's an engineer. So it ended up that CinemaCon coincided with my best friend being in Vegas as well. So that night, since Babes, we'd already had a review and stuff at Slash Film, I ended up just going to hang out with my best friend.
Excellent.
So yeah, that was actually awesome. You want to add to the whole thing of just like, hey, this is great. And also your best friend's here. So it was pretty awesome.
Okay. So before I ask you about maybe which studios brought the heat at the convention this year, which ones maybe fumbled the ball a little bit, I was curious what your read on the convention floor was like sometimes, you know, the equivalent of like at, if you've ever been to San Diego Comic-Con, there's like the show floor, right? Where you just walk around this massive thing where there's all these exhibitors and you can buy stuff. And, it's just this sort of overload experience. They have the same thing at CinemaCon, but it's for, products that theater owners will find useful to them. So a lot of it is concessions. A lot of it's like, you know, new exit signs for the theaters, you know, a lot of like stuff that we don't care about at all. But did you have the experience of walking around there and like doing the taste testing of the food and stuff? What was that like for you?
Yeah. So I, first off, there's also like in the halls of CinemaCon, there's just like dozens and dozens and dozens of posters for upcoming stuff. And I tried very hard. I ran out of time, but I wanted to go through and take like a bunch of pictures, and we were either maybe going to post some of them on social, do a gallery on Slash, but we just ran out of time. But so that was really neat seeing some of the posts. Like there was a really good one for Long Legs, the upcoming horror movie from Neon. And, but yeah, the trade show floor. So what I actually ended up getting to do, they took several journalists on like a guided tour of some of these things. And so I went on that and I got to see, it's fascinating seeing like, oh, here's theater food technology evolving. And like, we're not allowed to take pictures of any of it. And like, you know, you're not allowed to post most of it. And there's like, you know, new seats. But I tell you the one thing, and I made jokes about this in the Slash Film channel, was like, popcorn bucket technology has evolved beyond what any of us can comprehend. There was a whole booth dedicated to some of these popcorn buckets coming up. And some bad actors have leaked photos online that they were not supposed to leak. I won't talk about them specifically, but I made a big fuss about the alien Romulus one that we will be seeing later this year. And it's just wild. Like that was the biggest thing to me, is like, wow, this popcorn bucket stuff has really taken off.
Yeah, that seems like a way, like a surefire way for the studios to be able to, or not the studios, but the theaters themselves to be able to capitalize on just the fact of people being back in theaters at all. They're doing whatever they can. They're scrambling. The theatrical industry is not nearly as healthy as it used to be. So they're scrambling to make as much money as they can on anything they can and grasping at straws. And it seems like the customizable popcorn buckets for each of these individual movies is like one of the straws that they've grasped recently. So,
well, and it's working, and I don't begrudge, like if someone wants to spend the money on it, so be it. I got the Scream popcorn bucket. I love it. You know, so it's like, you know, whatever, if it works, it works.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So let's get into the actual experience of attending the studio presentations. And in the back half of the show, I want to ask you about the favorite, you know, the five favorite things that you saw, but kind of walk me through, I guess, your broad reactions to maybe some of the bigger studios and stuff that brought stuff there and what you thought about them.
Yeah. So what I'm going to try to do here is walk you through the week as quickly as I can. And just stop me if I'm droning on. But like, so the first thing I did was the state of the industry presentation. And that also involved like Crunchyroll, which Sony now owns, sort of displaying like, you know, this whole anime presentation. And to me, what was fascinating, I'm not even an anime guy, but you and I have talked a lot about this on the box office episodes. It's like, it's really cool to sort of see like at an event like this, like, oh yeah, anime is a real thing in North America now. And like so much so that like, we are now presenting this to theater owners to have you understand, like, these are movies you should care about. I thought that was really interesting. And
did they like present numbers and say like, hey, here's how much you can make and here's how much these movies have made in the past, like to try to like,
they did show numbers of like, hey, this is, you know, they mentioned like Demon Slayer being one of the first movies that, you know, brought people back during the pandemic. And like, yeah, there was a lot of, and it was all like, to my money, correct. Like they weren't overstating the case, right? Like they were sort of being like, no, this is a real thing and it's here to stay. And so I thought that was cool. And the other big thing I guess we should mention really quick is that the head of the MPA came up and made a big speech. And one of the big things is that they are going to actually try to bring an initiative to Congress to try and sort of curb piracy, which they claimed cost theater owners $1 billion annually. So the idea is that they're going to try to do this site blocking initiative to sort of stop piracy sites. And that was sort of an underreported thing from the first day of the, but we ended up, you know, I sort of caught it and Jacob, our fearless leader, sort of said, you should write this up. And yeah, so that's not to be ignored, that like piracy is a bigger deal than it used to be, in no small part thanks to like VOD and these 4K copies of things easy enough to rip online. So, you know, yeah, that's something to not, you know, so that was kind of the first day, but
okay. What kind of studio stuff did you see from the first day?
So then we get to Warner Brothers, which was the first like big presentation, right? And Warner Brothers was not a quantity thing. It was very much a like, here's the handful of things we're here to show, but it is a mixed handful of things. And look, I've given David Zaslav a lot of crap, and rightfully so, I think, but nobody's doing it like Warner Brothers right now, based on that presentation. They are doing such a range of things with different filmmakers, you know, from Horizon, this gigantic Western that was like, as I understand it, mostly self-funded by Kevin Costner, that Warner Brothers has partnered with him to distribute, you know, to Furiosa, to The Watchers, which is M. Night Shyamalan's daughter's like first movie, and then Trap, M. Night Shyamalan's new movie, and Mickey 17, which you guys are not ready for, the new Bong Joon-ho movie. Like, it was all, you know, it was such a wild presentation. And also, I should mention the big thing. I don't know if I'm going to get to it in the back half of the episode, but Beetlejuice looks better than I think anyone is prepared to understand. Like, it looks very good. So, you know, it looks like Tim Burton waking up. I don't know how else to explain it. So Warner Brothers was very much like, we are here. We are doing it. We are doing it big, and we are doing it a lot of different ways. So that was pretty impressive.
Okay, so I guess that was that it for that day?
Yeah, that was the first day, and then we move on to, which I believe was Wednesday, which was Lionsgate and Universal Pictures. So Lionsgate is what you call a mini major. They're not quite as big as like Universal or Paramount per se, but they're in the mix. And so Lionsgate was the quantity play of the week. Lionsgate announced a bunch of stuff, showed a ton of stuff. And it was like, it was a lot. Like, and it was encouraging in the sense that, like, I would like Lionsgate to be able to survive, to have a healthier theatrical marketplace, not dominated by like three studios. So they like announced a Monopoly movie that Margot Robbie's production company is going to work on, and a new Blair Witch movie produced by Blumhouse. And but then they showed, you know, footage from like the new Strangers trilogy and a bunch of footage from Borderlands. Horribly violent trailer for the new Crow movie. I got to see the first trailer for Ballerina, the long-awaited John Wick spinoff. There was a lot there. This is stuff I'm not even talking about. There was a new action movie called The Gray starring Henry Cavill. He talked a little bit about Highlander. The big thing, I think, which I won't talk about later, is they actually cobbled together footage from Michael, the upcoming Michael Jackson biopic, which is in production right now. It's only halfway through filming. And look, it is from the same producers of Bohemian Rhapsody, so we kind of know what we're getting. Mm-hmm. I am not here to speak about the quality of that movie. I am here to tell you it is going to make $1 billion. Like, it is going to make so much money. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of conversation. Yeah, make of that what you will when it comes out, but it is eerie. Like, they have Jafar Jackson is playing Michael, and the voiceover, the look, it is Michael Jackson. It's very,
and Jafar is his nephew, right?
Yes. And so look, again, all I can tell you is from a sheer crowd pleasing standpoint, like it is Antoine Fuqua's bringing his A game, and it looks like he's taken the assignment and run with it. And I think we could be looking at next year's highest global grosser, if not one of the highest. I know that's a bold prediction early, but I mean, it was that impressive in a certain sense.
Yeah, I mean, I, you know, trying to observe everything from afar and do all the stuff that we were doing on the site, I wasn't really able to sort of have my finger on the pulse of what was going on. But that was one of the few things that did come through, is like that footage apparently played really well in that room. So
it did. And then the only other things, because we won't talk about it a ton, is I will say Good Fortune, the new Aziz Ansari comedy that they showed quite a bit of.
Yeah.
Please put that on your radar. It is going to be Keanu Reeves in a way that you are going to talk about a lot. It looks very, very good. And there is an excellent action movie, excellent looking action movie that we didn't cover because we didn't have time. It's called The Killer's Game. It stars Dave Bautista. It is an action comedy. It has a huge ensemble cast. It looks great. So please keep that on your radar as well.
Okay. So anything else from Lionsgate that you wanted to mention?
No, just that, again, they really came to show, like, we have a lot and we kind of do it all, like, from all levels, like small to big. Yeah, the only other thing I would say is there's a movie called Flight Risk coming out that is directed by Mel Gibson, and I am not here to open up the Mel Gibson box of worms. What I am here to tell you is that it does not look like a movie from the guy who directed Apocalypto. And if it wasn't Mel Gibson, we would be talking about it as like the best bad movie of the year. It is Mark Wahlberg, Topher Grace in... When that trailer hits online, I'm not saying you necessarily need to see the movie, but you should at least watch the trailer. It looks bananas.
Okay. So then Universal. And Universal has the honor of being the studio that had the biggest 2023 of any major studio last year. So I kind of expected them to bring the heat in a major way. And I was kind of surprised, Ryan, with what they actually brought. So what was your experience like covering the Universal panel?
Yeah, look, there's, and it was also, Universal owns Focus Features as well. So there was a Focus Features component to the presentation, which was pretty brief. But before we move on totally from that, I will say there's a movie called Conclave coming up that was part of the Focus Features lineup. I believe it's coming out in November. Absolute Oscar contender. It looks awesome. It's about the process of selecting a new pope. And it's like this big, like sort of conspiracy type movie. It looks really good. So that's one thing that I had no expectation of walking into the panel, and just kind of caught me by surprise.
Yeah, and who's in that? Like Stanley Tucci's in that?
Stanley Tucci. Oh my God, I'm sorry. As you can imagine, covering this, like everything blurs in some way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's got a stacked A-list ensemble. It really is like the whole idea of like, oh, selecting a new pope, it sounds boring, but the trailer plays like this like espionage thriller. Like it's hard to sort of even like explain. Ralph Fiennes is in it, Stanley Tucci, John Lithgow, Isabella Rossellini. Like the cast is crazy. So but yeah, Universal had some announcements. Like they finally confirmed, like, you know, Five Nights at Freddy's 2 is happening. Yeah, they bragged a lot about, yeah, we were the biggest studio last year. And so just to give you a breakdown, they showed footage from Twisters. They showed footage from Lee Wannell's Wolfman movie, which has only been filming for a few weeks, as I understand it. They showed us the trailer for Speak No Evil, a remake of a foreign film that dropped online. So you can watch that right now. So I won't bother talking about that really. And then they showed us the two big ones, I think, were footage from Robert Eggers' Nosferatu and a ton of footage from Wicked. I will say the thing that stood out to me the most in there, is Wolfman, given that it hadn't been filming for very long and it looked awesome. It looked really, really good. And I will say Nosferatu, those of you who are excited about the guy who made The Witch making Nosferatu, yeah, you should be excited. It looks like what you think and it looks like Robert Eggers sort of finally doing something like straight up mainstream, but also kind of uncompromising. Like it still looks like him, but it definitely looks commercial. So I think people are gonna lose their minds about that one. Okay. Do you have any questions about any of that stuff, Ben? Anything you want to talk about? Anything you want to hear about?
No, this is great. I like the idea of sort of breezing through and then saving, you know, the things that really like move the needle for you to talk about a little bit in depth at the back half of the show. But there's only a couple other studios that we haven't talked about.
Yeah, yet, only right? A couple. The only other thing I would say is that Wicked, anyone who's listened to this podcast long enough knows I'm not a musical guy. I don't care. I don't know anything about Wicked. It's another one sort of like Michael. It's going to make a ton of money. It's undeniably impressive. Like it just looks huge and like they have the right take on it. And so I will say that was the one they seemed the most confident in. Like Warner Brothers Universal seemed incredibly confident in Wicked. They had a big show for it. They gave us like these light up roses and this light up lanyard thing. And so, yeah, that one, the studio seems so unbelievably high on that one, I will mention.
Okay. So let's see. There was Disney was the last one. What was the one
that Paramount and Disney wrapped up on the last day? So Paramount came out swinging. As you and the other editors know who are helping to cover this, usually CinemaCon is a lot of footage, Well, Paramount came out with a lot of announcements. They were like, hey, there's a lot of talk about Paramount being acquired. They even made some jokes about it. They're like, let's just forget the noise and focus on the fact that we have a lot of stuff coming. They announced an R-rated adaptation of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: The Last Ronin. They announced a Scary Movie reboot. They finally confirmed Edgar Wright's Running Man movie with Glenn Powell starring. They confirmed a Transformers G.I. Joe live action movie. They confirmed the new Star Trek movie, which will be like an origin movie of the entire franchise, basically, and a new animated Avatar: The Last Airbender movie, which will have Dave Bautista voicing the villain. So wow. They went hard on announcements. Like, they were not shy. And then as far as footage goes, we got a lot of A Quiet Place Day One. We got some Sonic the Hedgehog 3, even though it just finished filming. Got quite a bit of Transformers 1.
Animated Transformers movie, right?
It is, which we'll talk about in a minute. And then a bit of a surprise bit of footage from Smile 2, and then quite a bit of footage from Gladiator 2. So I guess I'll just walk you through those real quick. A Quiet Place Day 1 looks great. Looks much bigger than the first two, but not necessarily in a bad way. I think if you're going to do a prequel and you're going to do a third in that movie, you do need to make it different. And I think showing larger scale is different. Like, we haven't necessarily seen that in that universe yet. Mm-hmm. I have not actually seen the Sonic the Hedgehog movie, so I can't say a lot about Sonic 3 other than to say that it looks like more of the same from an outside perspective, but I don't think that's a bad thing because the other two worked. Smile 2 was an odd case, and I will say, anyone who read the piece about Smile 2 that we ran, I'm going to apologize because they sort of sprang that on us without telling us what it was. And at first, it looked like a concert documentary or something, so I wasn't even really taking great notes. And then I realized what it was, and I had to kind of scramble to sort of put together a description of what I was seeing. That having been said, it looked great. We'll talk about that more later. But and then Gladiator 2 may be one of the best things of the entire show. We saw 5 full minutes of, look, it's just called Gladiator 2. I think it's cool that it doesn't have some like weird subtitle. And similarly, Paramount went very, very hard on this movie where they were like, you know, let's show people what's going on. And I didn't know what to make of the fact that Gladiator 2 is happening. I now very much know what to make of the fact that Gladiator 2 is happening. Is there anything else any questions about that presentation there, Ben?
No, that's good. And then Disney was the last one, and they had all sorts of stuff. I mean, they showed some stuff from Captain America 4. They showed some stuff from Deadpool and Wolverine, Alien Romulus, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
So like, I guess without necessarily spoiling what we're going to talk about in just a few minutes, if any of these made your sort of a threshold for being one of the favorite things that you saw, what was your response to the Disney panel?
Disney felt like Disney, but it also felt like for once maybe they're playing catch up a little bit. Like it felt like they in some way the slate couldn't necessarily compete with some of what, like, you know, maybe Paramount or Warner Brothers has coming down the pipeline. But I think that speaks more about how much other studios have stepped up in some ways and not so much like everyone sort of playing second fiddle to Disney anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I will say, which didn't get talked about much, is they played the Young Woman in the Sea trailer, which is that new Daisy Ridley movie, and it's going to be on Disney Plus, and they're going to give it a limited theatrical, and the trailer's already aligned, so whatever. But Jerry Bruckheimer, who produced it, did a little video teeing it up, and Jerry Bruckheimer, if you just look over that man's IMDb, the stuff he's produced, it's crazy. One of the most legendary producers of all time. And he did mention in the video that this movie tested higher than any movie in his career. So, like, the preview screenings for this movie have apparently tested exceptionally well with audiences. Like, so I don't know. Look, obviously they're there to hype up these movies. I don't want to put too much stock in that, but that's something, you know.
Interesting. Cause like, you know, obviously David Zaslav was like, The Flash is the greatest superhero movie I've ever seen. It's the greatest movie of all time.
Sure. That's them saying an opinion. I think preview screening test scores are a little less, you know, like skewed in that way, right? Like,
right.
It's not one personal opinion. But again, I'm not here to say like, wow, but I'm just that struck me.
Yeah.
You know,
Because you said that, I watched the trailer for Young Woman in the Sea when it came out, which I probably would have skipped otherwise, to be frank, because it's largely a Disney Plus movie. And I just haven't really found those to be of like a quality that really demands my attention in the same way. And I will say that I got a lot of NIAD vibes off of it. Like, it's very similar to NIAD, the Netflix movie that came out at the end of last year and got a couple of Oscar nominations. So it's just a really weird coincidence that these two movies happen to be coming out around the same time as each other. So
yeah, it's the Deep Impact Armageddon thing, like a little bit.
The good news, I think, for Young Woman in the Sea is that not very many people watch NIAD, it seems like. So if you're a Daisy Ridley fan, this seems like a good opportunity to check out, you know, an inspirational true story kind of drama thing with her swimming across the English Channel. So check that out if you're interested.
For sure. So I'll run through these other ones relatively quickly. But I saw 13 minutes of Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. We'll talk about that more in a minute. Okay, some people who've listened to this podcast for a long time know I was at one point in my life maybe the biggest diehard Marvel Cinematic Universe fan, and I have felt a little bit burnt as of late. I'm trying not to just drink the tea in the room, but Captain America Brave New World looked good. It looked like Winter Soldier-y. Not exactly Winter Soldier, but it had that more grounded vibe to it. Mm-hmm. It looked good. Harrison Ford fits right in. He seems to be at home as General Ross. It's very different. Like, it's a different take on Ross. He's not trying to emulate, but it definitely piqued my interest. And I have no idea what to make of an R-rated Deadpool movie under Disney's reign. I really don't. All I can tell you is that Deadpool and Wolverine looked like an absolute blast. It really does look fun, and it's making fun of the fact that, like, it is needlessly complicated. Like, the fact that Deadpool is now going multiversal and all these things, and, like, it really is aware of what it's trying to do, and I was encouraged, as someone who was pretty burnt out on this stuff. So,
do you think that Deadpool and Wolverine is going to be the movie that saves 2024 at the box office, like it's sort of been positioned as?
I think if it's as good, or forget even saying it's good, because it's not even about what I think is good or what you think is good. It's about what's crowd pleasing, right? What's going to get people out. If it is as crowd pleasing as an entire movie, as that 9 minutes or so of footage that I saw indicates it's going to be, I don't know if it's going to be able to save the whole year, but it's definitely got a shot at a billion, you know? Wow. And I don't say that I hate using a billion as a benchmark for success, because it doesn't have to be, but if you look at the other Deadpool movies making almost $800 million worldwide, you add in Wolverine, you add in the MCU, those plus factors could get it over the line. I will say that.
Okay. All right. So I think that's going to do it before we take a break, right? Any other stuff that you wanted to...
Sorry, just a couple of real quick things. Mufasa the Lion King was one of the least impressive things I saw the whole time I was there. All due respect to Barry Jenkins. It just looks like more footage from that first Lion King movie. I don't know what distinguishes it. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for a longer trailer to maybe understand what distinguishes it, because the one thing I will say, in stark contrast to the footage, Barry Jenkins' speech before queuing up the footage was like impassioned. I believed him. Like, he seemed like he really wanted to do this movie. So I'm like, all right, hopefully the footage I saw is not a great indication of the movie itself. And Moana 2, the musical number I saw looked good. The trailer was okay. So it was a bit mid. I don't know what to say about it. But yeah, that's just kind of a wrap up of the Disney panel there.
Okay. All right. Let's take a break and then we'll be right back. All right, Ryan, let's get into it now. The five best things, or your five favorite things that you saw at CinemaCon. Let's start with number five and just count down for me.
Yeah, so these aren't necessarily in order. They're kind of sort of in order, but I teed this up a bit. But Smile 2 was, I didn't really know. I liked Smile. I liked the first Smile. It was a good, scary movie. Interesting premise, whatever. The new one is wildly different. It's not like a sequel that is just doing like the same thing with the same characters again. I don't really even know how to explain it without like giving too much away, but like, it looks like Parker Finn got more money and he had a really interesting idea. Mm-hmm. and it doesn't look like a safe sequel. It looks really unique. So I'm, that was one that kind of like made me raise my eyebrow and like, all right, like, okay, like, let you know, let's keep that on our radar. So I'm very interested in that.
Okay. So that would be maybe like a loose number five. Tell me what's next.
My loose number four, I guess we'll say, is Mickey 17. This is not a movie that's really on my radar that much. Look, I liked Parasite a lot. I'm not as big of a Bong Joon-ho fan as some other people are, just because I haven't seen all of his movies. But Mickey 17, it sort of seemed like there had been talk about the budgets a lot. It got delayed to January of next year. People are like, oh man, is this, you know, should I be worried? Like, Robert Pattinson's in it, what's going on? I just didn't know it. I can't, like, you have to wait till the trailer comes online, but it is, nobody is ready for what this movie is. It is like darkly irreverent. Like the it was funny as hell, but like very dark. It's big. It's bombastic. It's like kind of ridiculous in a wonderful way. Robert Pattinson is doing like a Tom Hardy voice. Like, I don't know how else to explain it. Like, it is wild. Like, I had no idea what to expect. And it was one of the things that like really stuck out to me. Like, it was impossible not to notice it, like in and amongst the sea of footage. Like, so I don't know. I'm not here to talk about commercial prospects of something yet, but it looks really fun. And
so this is a sci-fi. This is Bong Joon-ho's return to sci-fi. Robert Pattinson plays like multiple characters, as far as I can tell.
Yes.
And it seemed like the vibe that I was getting from some of the descriptions and stuff that I was reading was it was a little bit like Tom Cruise in Edge of Tomorrow, where, you know, there's like a tiny bit of like self-awareness, or maybe even like a little bit of goofiness here and there, and like kind of violence and like some darkness, but done with a light touch. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, Edge of Tomorrow is not a bad comparison. It's got a bit more. The tone is definitely a little different. Like, it's a little more irreverent. Like, where Edge of Tomorrow had like moments of humor, but it's mostly a serious movie. Like, Mickey 17 is not necessarily taking itself that seriously. And I say that lovingly. Like, I love that they made a movie this big that's like this kind of like silly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but it's also, I don't know. It's very difficult to sort of like relay to you but yeah, it's pretty wild. And I think like, the people of film Twitter are going to have a field day when this trailer drops. I will say that much.
Okay, so give me your loose three.
My loose three is Gladiator 2. Ridley Scott is my boy. Anyone who listens to this podcast knows he's on my Mount Rushmore. I love Ridley Scott. And you and I had talked a little while ago when that story broke that the budget for this movie ballooned to like $300 million. And I was like panicking. I'm like, why? How did you do this, Paramount? I now kind of don't care. Like, I'm going to bemoan this when the movie opens and whatever, but like, from a sheer footage standpoint, like, I now understand why Gladiator 2 exists, and I'm so excited Gladiator 2 exists. Oh my God, it looks like the most Ridley Scott thing ever in a very long time. And like, it is like the ensemble cast, the story is there, Denzel being the most version of Denzel, like, without giving too much away, like, the arena fights they teased. So a lot of the footage is still being finished. Like, there's a lot of CGI that still needs to be finished, this and that. But there's like a man riding a rhinoceros about to fight Paul Mescal. There's Paul Mescal and a bunch of other would-be gladiators fighting a bunch of horrible feral monkeys. There's an arena filled with water and boats and men falling off of those boats and getting eaten by sharks in the arena. Like, it is wild. like, it is. It was really impressive. And yeah, look, I get it. I get why this is happening now. It seemed odd to me, you know, but I get it. And it was really cool. And commercial prospects aside, I think it looks like one of my very favorite filmmakers getting it. The way I explained it to Jacob was, okay, so like, there's the aliens thing. If they had called this movie Gladiators in that same way, that would kind of be how I explained to you how this footage looked.
Okay.
So yeah, pretty cool.
Man, yeah, this is the one that I think might be my number one for just like most anticipated based solely off the footage descriptions that I was reading from you and other folks at CinemaCon. So yeah, fingers crossed that this turns out to be just like as epic and amazing as it sounds. So all right, give me your loose number two, Ryan.
My loose number two is Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. The two and one are kind of pretty much balled together as like the things I was most excited about, both from the Disney presentation, worth noting. But Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, I think I've made the joke on this podcast about me wanting to go into cryo freeze until this movie comes out. I am so unbelievably excited about this movie. And I was a little nervous. I was just drinking the tea from the trailers. it's hard to hide what your movie is when you see 13 minutes of it. Essentially split over two or three scenes in a trailer. It looks phenomenal. Anyone that's excited about this movie or anyone that is conversely a little on the fence, I am here to tell you it is the business. It is the juice. West Ball delivered. It looks, whereas like Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and War for the Planet of the Apes are very like dark movies, both like tonally and visually. This one is very bright and beautiful, and it's like cityscapes covered in greenery from hundreds of years of humanity not being a thing, and it just picks up right where those movies left off in some ways, like visually, and just being just as striking to look at, and having apes that feel like developed characters and stories you care about. Yeah, it looks every bit like the movie that I am praying that this movie is going to be. So yeah, just couldn't.
Sometimes when they, you know, at conventions like this or at Comic-Con, when they'll show 10 minutes of something, it can kind of be like a little bit of a disorienting experience because, you know, they'll show you a section of the movie, but like you're not typically seeing the first few minutes of the movie. You're just seeing whatever random section happens to be ready that they're prepared to show you. So sometimes it can be disorienting because you're like, all right, who are these characters? What's going on here? What's the goal? And so I wonder what your reaction was to seeing this footage. I mean, obviously like the visuals seem to speak for themselves in terms of, you know, matching up with what the previous filmmakers did with that previous trilogy. But in terms of like the story, what were you able to glean there?
Again, I hasten to spoil much for people, but let's just say loosely that it's going to be a revenge tale, it looks like. And it's going to be very much an exploration of this world largely without humans, where these various ape subset cultures have developed. And it's not just one, you know, because like the Caesar movies were very much like, hey, apes together strong, because they're, that's it, we only have us. We've now had hundreds of years for apes to take over the planet, so that's no longer the case. And yeah, like some fully realized characters, some very heartbreaking stuff, some beautiful stuff. Yeah, it seems to be what we were teed up is a tale of revenge and discovery. For someone who would be, I say this as someone who is this excited about this movie, I would also be the first to let you know that I was bummed by the footage. And I'll say this on that same level. One of the things I was most excited about heading into CinemaCon was Transformers 1. I left that Transformers 1 footage feeling not knowing what to make of it. And honestly, a little like down on it. So like, I'll be the first to tell you that like, if it's something I was excited about and it didn't deliver, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
And so like, that's not what happened here. Like, okay. Because, so it's complete opposite. So,
okay. So Ryan is doing a good job, I think, in this conversation of not getting into too much detail and sort of like spoiling things for listeners. Cause we don't want to just like, drop spoiler warnings every 3 minutes when we change topics about something. But I will say that descriptions that you relayed and that we packaged into articles that are now up on Slash Film are a lot more descriptive about the ins and outs of what you saw and the details and the characters and all that kind of stuff. So if anybody is interested in any of these topics and movies that you've touched on here and want to learn more about them, just go to Slash Film and read the article about, you know, just Google whatever the name of the movie is, Slash Film CinemaCon, and you'll see
100%
what Ryan saw. So I just wanted to make that clear. Ryan's not just being like, it was awesome and that's it. Like, there's a lot more actual work that went into
there
this.
Is,
I'm just trying to make sure everybody's on the same page about that.
Well, so. And I'm also trying to preserve, like, I think someone seeking out one of those articles, they're sort of understanding, like, okay, I'm about to read what you've seen. You listening to this podcast, I'm not sure what your level of, like, aversion is to spoilers, so I'm trying to be considerate there.
Yeah, 100%.
So I guess, do you want to go move on to what my favorite thing here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Alien Romulus. I am, again, this is pretty much tied with Kingdom, where it was just two things that I'm so looking forward to that delivered the goods. We got that brief Alien Romulus teaser recently, and it looked like atmospherically correct. Like, it looked like a scary alien movie, which is what Fede Alvarez has talked about. And let us not forget that Ridley Scott has seen this movie and he said, quote, it's fucking awesome. Like, and you know, so he has not always been that kind about the other Alien movies that have come out. I believe that he meant it based on what we saw. We saw a couple of scenes, one of which involved more face huggers than we've ever seen on screen before in a terrifying, like, awesome scene. The way that they set it up was so cool, and it's like a young cast and they seem so out of their depth, like with what's going on. We don't really know, like, they dropped us into a middle of a couple scenes, so we don't know the setup exactly, but yeah, the facehugger scene was really rad. And there's the teaser that's online right now, you can see there's a shot of like just like dozens of facehuggers crawling out of a door, and we're kind of seeing what leads to that. The scene that I saw was so rad. And then there was another scene that sort of shows the aftermath of that. And it seems to be that moment in an Alien movie after things sort of like shit hits the fan, and like then everyone is scrambling and trying to figure out how do we deal with this. And yeah, the aftermath was great. And then we got like another teaser trailer. But it looks like, look, I love Alien Covenant. I might be that movie's foremost defender on the planet, but it is a weird movie. Like, and it's definitely taking a more like thoughtful exploration of that universe. This is an Alien movie. Like, this is a straight up like Alien movie. This is a scary, gory, messed up Alien movie full of practical effects, very little CGI. Like, everything looked very practical, and I know that was a complaint of people in like some of these other movies, and I will say, like, Fede put his money where his mouth is, and yeah, there's some CGI, but a lot of it looked very practical and scary and bloody and awesome. So yeah, very much happy this one's going to theaters, and that Disney wised up and didn't do the Prey thing and dumped this straight to Hulu.
Yeah. Kaylee Spaney is in this. Isabella Merced is in this. Let's see, who else? David Johnson. I was not aware that he was in this. He was great in a movie called Rye Lane that came out, I think, last year, that's on Hulu right now, that you should check out if you're into rom-coms. Sounds like he's in a very different mode here. So yeah, once again, you can read much more detail about the stuff that Ryan is alluding to here at the article at Slash Film. So I guess any closing thoughts on your first CinemaCon experience, Ryan?
Well, first off, Ben, I want to thank you for, you know, this was your beat, and I want to thank you for not, you know, I know you weren't going to go this year, and you've had, you know, you had your reasons for not going, but for sort of passing the baton to me, even if it was just for 1 year, and, you know, doing so much to behind the scenes and listeners. I am going to pat Ben on the back here in a big way, even if it makes him uncomfortable, but he was so kind to sort of like get me ready, help me out, make sure I knew, because it can be a little overwhelming if you've never been there, and to kind of like prepare me so I could enjoy the experience. And I did really enjoy the experience. I told everyone the first day that I was there in our, we had this Slack chat going so I could relay everything. And during the state of the industry presentation, I got weepy, literally weepy. I just felt so overwhelmed with my love of cinema, and I'm kind of almost crying right now talking about it. Like, it was so lovely and it was wonderful. And it really just was like, you get to cross these little bucket list things, you know, because I have this weird life and because I do this weird job, and I don't know if I'll do it forever, but this was one of those weeks and those experiences where like, I just loved it. And so like, for all of you listening who read, who are like supporting this at all, thank you so much. And like Ben, particularly, thank you so much for like helping me do this.
Dude, absolutely. And it was my pleasure. And I'm so happy that that the experience lived up to what you had in your mind. Because sometimes, I mean, that's the worst, when you like build something up and you go and it's just like disappointing. And I'm, you know, I have my own history with CinemaCon, and especially like I got straight up burnt out on Comic-Con and like cannot cover that anymore. Like, that just feels like a young man's game, and I'm like too old for it now. I can't bring myself to do it. I can envision a world where maybe I go back and cover CinemaCon, just because like it's a much different beast than Comic-Con. But yeah, man, it's a weird convention. Like, the whole entertainment industry is just like so bizarre when you step back and think about it. And like, being in a convention like that where there's all of these people who are not from Hollywood. You know, it's not Hollywood types necessarily. Yes, there are Hollywood people there. There are producers there. They trot out the actors and stars and all that stuff on stages or whatever. But it's like the theater owners in Nebraska and Iowa in the middle of the country and like wherever, you know, just people who love movies getting together. And there's something, kind of special about that environment. So I'm glad that it rubbed off on you and sort of, yeah, like supercharged your movie love, which was already great to begin with. So, okay.
Yeah, but that's basically it, guys. So just thank you, you know, for anyone who supported me on this weird little journey. And thanks for reading and thanks for listening. And, you know, it was awesome.
Yeah. So once again, I wish I could like just link to every single panel description, footage description thing that we have up on Slash Film, but there's just so many. I mean, I think I lost count, honestly, Ryan, of like the number of articles that we published.
We must have ran 25.
Between 25 and 50, I would say, probably.
Yeah, but anyway, but you can, I tried to retweet almost everything. So if you just go to my Twitter feed, you could probably see, it'd be pretty easy to scroll through. So if you just go to, I mean, not to like promote myself, but
no, this is great. Yeah.
I did retweet almost all of the articles. So aside from the news announcements, because those, you know, we didn't, but any of my footage descriptions and stuff that, and again, thank you so much to, you know, Jeremy and all the other writers at Slash Film that helped put together all my notes. But yeah, if you just go to Ryan Scott Writes on Twitter, just a couple days ago, you can scroll through and just see just straight up retweets of the footage description. So,
okay. Yeah. That's probably the fastest, easiest way to do that. So I will put a link to Ryan's Twitter account in the show notes and people can go on your journey from there. So that'll do it for today's episode of Slash Film Daily. You can find much more about all of this stuff at Ryan's Twitter account. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing you the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really does help us out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you all tomorrow.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.